Mother of holy hope, convert us. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, the world can be a very hopeless place. We look around us, and for many years now, it seems as though evil has triumphed. We try to lead a good Catholic life, and yet we're surrounded by so much evil. We're surrounded by godless people. We're surrounded by a hedonistic world. Because of that, it's easy to lose hope. But besides just that outside struggle that we have, there's an internal struggle within our families and within our own souls. Perhaps we're fighting against a certain sin that we've fallen into again and again. And each time we get up, we think we're gonna make it this time. We're really going to conquer it. And we fall again. And we get discouraged and start to lose hope. Perhaps in our families, we're really trying to put into practice the principles of a Catholic life. And we try and we try. The harder we try, it seems, the worse it gets. And we start to get discouraged and start to lose hope. Is it even worth it? Yes, it's a bleak world at times, from without and from within even. And that's why we need hope. And we have today a bright ray of hope. And that is Our Lady, whom we've just crowned as our Queen. In that beautiful hymn, we sing to her honor, Hail, Holy Queen. We call her the Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Our Lady truly is our hope. And it's on this that I'd like to stop for a moment today, as we begin this month of May, and as we begin a Rosary Crusade, to look at Our Lady as our hope in these difficult times, especially these times which have changed so rapidly in the last few months and added to what was already a difficult burden. Our Lady, she is called often Our Lady of Hope or Mother of Holy Hope. This title, she is called upon under this title in a certain apparition, which isn't very well known. It's an apparition which took place in northwestern France, in the region there, in a town called Portmont. At the time, the Prussian army was invading France, and they had taken all over almost two-thirds of France, and they were advancing now on Brittany. And in a matter of days, a few miles, in fact, they were going to arrive at the town of Lavy in Brittany. Just on the outskirts of that town was a little hamlet, this hamlet of Pontmon. And of course, the faithful there, the good Catholics there, they were beginning to lose hope. This enemy army is coming and invading our homeland. These soldiers are taking over with all that that entails for those poor people in this hamlet. And they were starting to lose hope. One afternoon, it was January 17th, 1871, two young boys were helping their father in the barn. They were helping him with the chores. And as night fell, around 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening, the older of the two boys, Eugene, he went to the door of the barn and he began to look up at the night sky as the stars started appearing. And suddenly he beheld a beautiful woman. And this woman was clothed in a dark blue gown, all bedecked with golden stars. She was veiled and she had on her head a golden crown. And of course, he said something, that he sees this lady appearing above their village. And so his brother Joseph and his father, they come. A neighbor also hears and he comes. And they're all looking up at this woman who is, in fact, Our Lady. The mother of these two boys, she comes out as well. But none of the adults could see Our Lady, only the children. One of the nuns in the village, who was the schoolmistress, she came. She heard, she got news of it. She couldn't see either. So she had the idea, let's call two little girls, because perhaps we adults can't see. She didn't tell the little girls what was there. She just called them to her. And when they came, they looked up and they saw the same image of Our Lady in the sky. and they began to describe exactly what Eugene had just described to the adults, without knowing what it was that they were called for, without any notice of this apparition. So soon enough, word spread, and almost the whole village came out, and the parish priest was there. And they began a vigil of prayer. They began praying the rosary. And during the rosary, Our Lady's gown began to be more adorned with stars. And then as they prayed, under her feet, the children saw these words written in gold unfurled at her feet. "But pray, my children, God will hear you in a short time. My son allows himself to be moved with compassion." What word, touching words of hope. God will hear you. Keep praying. There is hope. Through my intercession, my son, he will have compassion on you. He knows that you suffer, and he's going to help you. The apparition lasted about 4 hours. The crowd was singing hymns to Our Lady. During a sorrowful hymn in honor of the Passion, she became mournful and held the cross of her son in her hands. They sang the Ave Maria Stella in her honor. She began again to smile and soon disappeared from their sight. In the meantime, what had happened? The commander of the Prussian army, he had taken over another city, and he took up residence in the bishop's palace. And he told the bishop that same night, January 17th, he told him, "This day my troops will be in Levy, in the town. They will have overtaken Pontmon and enter the next city." But what had happened, the general, as he approached the city, suddenly got orders to retreat. And it wasn't certain why. He was told, "Pull back, don't take the city." And that same general, it is reported afterwards, he said on the occasion, "We can't go any further in the direction of Brittany. A great Madonna who is invisible is protecting it." Our Lady, she saved this village from their enemy, and she gave hope again to these citizens. Our Lady, she is the mother of holy hope because she conquers all enemies. If she's concerned about these enemies, these worldly enemies, of course she's concerned about our spiritual enemies. The attacks that we undergo as we're trying to lead a good life, she knows that we struggle, and she can conquer them just as easily as she can conquer an army. Remember that she is the mediatrix of all graces. On Calvary, with her son, she merited every single grace we need. We have to think about that. With her son, she not only merited heaven for us, the greatest of graces, but she merited down to the very details. "Today, I conquered a temptation against pride," something very small, seemingly. That grace was bought on Calvary by Jesus Christ, and in union with him, his mother. And he has put into her hands every grace, and she now dispenses them at her will. They are in her hands, and she is very tender, and she cares very much for us. And so each of these little graces, even down to the very smallest, they're in her hands, and she's very ready to give them. No matter what is troubling us, she has power over it, and she can help us. She is the hope of the hopeless, even. There is a beautiful story of a man who led a very sinful life. His wife forced him to say 3 Hail Marys in front of an image of Our Lady. And as he passed it one night, on his way to go pleasure hunting, he stopped and said those 3 Hail Marys that he was wont to say. And as he said it, Our Lady obtained the grace for him to have this vision. He looked at the Madonna holding her son, the child Jesus, and suddenly he was covered in blood and wounds. And the man began to weep. "I did that. I caused him to suffer." And he began to ask the child Jesus for mercy. We have to understand this correctly. Our Lord is always ready to show mercy, but he wanted to teach this man a very powerful lesson. And so he is very cold to him. And he turned his face away. And the man was in despair. So he looked at Our Lady. And he said, "Please help me." And she told him, "You call me the mother of mercy, and you've made me the mother of misery because of what you've done to my son." But yes, as we just heard in the gospel, she labors as in travail, but then she rejoices because a child is born, another son of God is born through grace. And so she walked, she had set the child Jesus down, and she prostrated herself in front of her son, and she begged mercy for this man. And the child Jesus had mercy on him. He turned his face to him and smiled. And suddenly all the blood and wounds disappeared. The man changed. He led a devout Catholic life and hopefully saved his soul. She is the hope of the hopeless. But let us remember that Our Lady, she doesn't want us to have hope here and there, just little acts of hope, maybe in the morning when we say our morning prayers if we're lucky. She wants us to live a life of hope. We speak about faith all the time and we say, yeah, it's not enough just to say I believe here and there, but we have to live a life of faith, a life that's permeated by faith, seeing everything from that optic. It's the same for the theological virtue of hope. We're not meant to hope here and there when we're struggling. We're meant to live in hope. As the psalm says, steadfastly fixed in hope, established in hope. That is what we must do. And Our Lady, she wants us to live in this way, and she's obtained that grace for us. Remember, hope is the virtue which fixes our gaze on heaven. It's the virtue which keeps us on that right path to heaven. Today, St. Peter told us to walk as pilgrims because we're not made for this world. We should ignore these worldly, these carnal and fleshly desires. It's hope that does that for us. We look at the goal, we look at heavenly happiness, and we see these things are trifles, and I'm a pilgrim. I'm not made for these things. I'm made for heaven. And so we avoid sin through hope. But it also helps us to bear the trials. Trials do come our way because the cross is the only way to save our souls. And it's hope that makes us take up that cross and keep walking. Our Lord said, "You shall be made sorrowful. You will have trials. But your sorrow will be turned to joy, hope. Look, heaven, it's full of joy for you. Bear your cross." Our Lady, she has won these graces to take up our cross and follow our Lord. She has won the graces we need to keep our eyes fixed on heaven and not get drawn away by worldly things. This Mother of Holy Hope, look at her. What a trial she had. The worst trial imaginable of despair. She stood there on Mount Calvary, and what did she see? She saw what looked like utter defeat. What had God promised her? Remember, hope is based on the promises of God, that He has promised to get us to heaven. What did Our Lady see on Calvary? She saw her son tortured, crucified. What had the angel promised? He promised that this son of hers would be great. He promised that he would rule on David's throne and his kingdom would last forever. He promised that he'd be the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. And what does Our Lady see on Calvary? Is he great? No, he's hung on a cross with criminals. He was spat upon, and now he's being mocked. It was said that he would reign sitting on David's throne, and now his throne is a cross. He was cast out from the city of David. They mock him as a king. Sure, king of the Jews. Look at this king. It was said that he'd be the Son of God, and he certainly is. But on Calvary, what do we see? We see him lower than the lowest man, even. I am a worm and no man. If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Our Lady had the greatest trial against hope, and yet she persevered steadfast in hope all on Holy Saturday until she arrived through hope to the joy of the resurrection. She lived in hope, and that's what she wants us to do, to live in hope, to keep our gaze fixed on heaven. And that's why we pray, Mother of Holy Hope, convert us. This little phrase comes from Father Emmanuel. Father Emmanuel transformed his parish through Our Lady of Holy Hope. There was a statue in his church which he asked Pius IX if he could name in honor of the Mother of Holy Hope, and Pius IX gladly granted it. And Father Emmanuel, from that day, changed himself, and his whole parish changed. He said, no longer will I try to convert sinners, but I'll go to Our Lady, and she, the Mother of Holy Hope, will convert sinners. That phrase became coined. They would say, pray the little prayer, cry the little prayer. And they meant by that, Mother of Holy Hope, convert us. Father Emmanuel immediately saw his parish change. He said, from the moment Our Lady of Holy Hope arrived, every soul understood that great change was absolutely necessary. The external practices of religion would be found inadequate. The interior motives for action would have to undergo fundamental modifications. Love of God would have to stop being just an expression. The Spirit of the Lord was going to breathe into dried bones and raise up a new people, as it says in Ezekiel. And so the faithful started going to frequent communion and confession. They stopped going to these cabarets and these dances on Sunday, which were replacing their Sunday obligation. And instead, Father Emmanuel found his faithful coming for lauds in the morning, for Mass. They came for Vespers, even Compline. He would give them instructions and organize games, so their whole day was spent God-centered. The immodesty started disappearing. There was opposition. Some of the young men, they didn't like this, these pleasure seekers. And so they started what they called a second parish in a barn where they'd mock religious ceremonies, and they'd give themselves over to the most abominable pleasures. And on one Sunday in May, the month of Our Lady, one of these young men was walking, and Our Lady of Holy Hope, as he himself said, literally struck him over the head, knocked him on the head as if it were with a giant medal of Our Lady. And those are his words. And he changed. He immediately said, I can't go on. And his friends mocked him as he walked away. But he immediately took up the practice of the rosary. And then in October, the other month dedicated to Our Lady and her rosary, he made a good confession and became after a monk. Our Lady of Holy Hope, she converted this parish of Father Emmanuel. And that's what we must pray to her for, to give us hope, but to live in hope. That's what we need today. And we can do that especially through this rosary crusade. What better way to live in hope than to every single day spend 15 minutes at least dwelling on the mysteries of heaven? The rosary came from heaven, and the rosary leads to heaven. It's totally fixed in heaven, and it fixes us in heaven. It fixes us in hope. Let's pray the rosary with those dispositions, saying, Our Lady of Holy Hope, convert me. I need to change. I need to live in hope. Live with one desire, to see God in heaven. And through that hope, I will be willing to forgo any pleasure on this earth, because it's not worth it. And for that hope, because of that hope, I will be willing to accept whatever trial, however great, because the end of it is heaven, the joy of heaven. I will live in hope. Let's give ourselves to the Rosary Crusade. Let's kneel at the feet of Our Lady of Holy Hope, and truly beg her, Mother of Holy Hope, convert us. In the Father, and in the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.